Just lift your eyes and look to the Lord.
Amazing. God accepts us as we are and loves us too much to leave us that way.
Brand new music from North Point, Inside Out. They're coming to Kingdom Bound 2019, and don't forget, ticket prices go up tonight. So get your tickets and save. Go to kingdombound.org. Well, Lisa Kratz, Thomas, and Kathy Gray have been our guests on Mondays for the last forever, like for months and months and months. And they said one of these days we're going to come to Buffalo to do this show live with you. And ladies and gentlemen, they're live in studio. This is so awesome. Lisa is over here on my right, Kathy to my left. How are you guys doing?
We're so good. Listen, we have had the most unbelievable weekend here in Buffalo, Batavia, Rochester, Niagara Falls. I mean, we've just done it all.
You even went to Canada.
We did. It was just great. Just so great. The people are so welcoming here and so real and so friendly. So, yeah, it was just fantastic.
You had the chance to speak at City Church in Batavia. We'll get to that in a minute. But you know, Kathy, have you ever even been to this? Because Lisa was here last year. She spoke at a pregnancy care center in Batavia called All Babies Cherished. But
nope,
you've not been here?
I have only been to New York for a stop in New York City on an airplane.
Oh, that's the other end of the state.
I know it's not even the same place. But
we
no,
actually
it's
pray
been
that
wonderful.
It breaks off and floats out in
there
the
you
ocean.
Go. It's seceding or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's so cool to have you here and your husbands are with you. Had a chance to meet Tom, that's Lisa's husband, and Dave is Kathy's husband. And so you guys, like, what did you cross the border on Saturday and hung out? You went and saw the falls?
That's right. It was incredible. I've never seen them. David never seen them. It just gets pounding into your soul, the majesty of God. It was incredible.
We may have gotten together or may not have gotten together at Russell's for an incredible dinner on Saturday night.
Yes.
I can't confirm or deny that whole situation. But and then Sunday morning at the City Church. Mm-hmm. Okay, so coming back from the break, we're playing the North Point song. And Lisa's over here on my right, just with her eyes closed, hands in the air, just mm-hmm. kind of sway into the music. But it was so powerful yesterday because here we've been talking about freedom in Christ this whole time, right? I mean, the 12 steps are about finding freedom from something. And Jesus is our anchor of peace. Jesus is our redeemer. He's our help. He's our strength. He's our savior. So when Ryan McDonald was leading worship, Garrett, his brother, was singing too, some of the songs were about grace and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are just dancing up a storm. I was sitting behind you, and Mary and I were there, and we were just celebrating the freedom that was so evident in your lives. And I guess it really helped underscore for me why we do what we do here, right? I mean, Lisa, particularly you with your story of, you know, having been addicted to crack cocaine and involved in prostitution and looking for love in all the wrong places. And then, Kathy, your story as well.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have really found some freedom in Christ. And so praise God. It's why we do this conversation right here.
It totally is. And you know, here's the thing that I think is so important for Christians, and I'm speaking to myself first, is that we can never lose sight of our first love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that as just a phrase. I'm talking about, I don't ever want to stand at a podium and not be totally awed by the fact that God brought me from living on the streets, brought me really from the pit and took me to the palace. And there is nothing, I mean, I'm still in awe over it, Neil. It brings me to tears. And that, I think if we can remember what God has really done for us in our life, it makes us a lot more grateful. It makes us a lot more loving. And I think it's going to show the world, you know what, these Christians are the real deal.
You guys are co-authors of the book Light in Our Darkness, and you tell your stories there. And while yours is the rags to riches story of being on the street and everything, Kathy, you have an entirely different story that I know you've talked about over time, and you don't need to give all the details, but growing up in a very Christian environment, an academic, evangelical, Christian home, you know, a lot of emphasis on the Word of God and Scripture and all that stuff. Even so, you found yourself in a different kind of bondage, which makes a lot of sense, because there's many of us that couldn't relate to Lisa's story in detail, right? I mean, we've all had problems in our lives, so we're all on equal ground there. But I'm just saying, your story is so unique, Lisa, that most of us would say, well, at least we've never been incarcerated, right? That's part of your story. But going back to Kathy, there's a lot more similarities, I think, in what the vast majority of people struggle with in your story, and yet what's common to all of us is the bondage that we experience. So I don't know if you want to describe, because you endured a different form of bondage.
I did. You know, I was thinking as Lisa was talking about how, you know, what she's been saved from, and it is an absolutely magnificent story. And I think about my own life. I grew up with the answer all around me. I did have the Word of God. I did have parents who raised me to know and love Jesus, but I was in bondage to perfectionism, and I was also dealing with the trauma of sexual abuse and the shame that I was locking inside because I didn't know how to talk about those secrets. I didn't understand that Jesus would save me out of that. I just kept trying to be a better version of myself so I would be more acceptable to Jesus. So the fact that we were there in freedom and worshiping and just being so grateful to the Lord, I was rescued out of the bondage within the church in my own prison and set free. I thought I wouldn't be alive at this time. You know, that almost took my life.
Yeah, well, praise God, because he's the one who comes to set us free from all of this stuff. I mean, even mentioning perfectionism, I know I brought this up on a previous program, but there was a time in my life where I wore perfectionism like a badge of honor. You know, I was the guy who couldn't go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning if I couldn't find the last 3 cents in the checkbook. Like, what, I was trying to balance it, couldn't find it. I was gonna stay up and find that thing. And it carried over into my spiritual life. You know, I wanted to be the perfect Christian. I wasn't, but I wanted everybody to think I was. And that stuff will just wear you down. But, you know, somebody would say, like, hey, describe yourself. You know, you'd have to write a bio for something or whatever. Well, Neil is a hardworking perfectionist. Today, I want to run from that term, because it means I'm seeking, you know, something that, it, first of all, can't exist, but secondly, is found in my own strength, not God's. Mm-hmm. So we need to be delivered from that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's a bondage.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like an acceptable bondage, right? I mean, it's not okay to be a crack addict, but you can be a perfectionist for Christ. Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, isn't it like heart disease that's the silent killer, you know, or it's the silent thing. Lisa was living loud and proud. I was silently dying inside, and both of us were in desperate need for rescuing out of our mental instability.
So we're going to talk about step 10 today, and on this road to freedom. Lisa's been the one who always identifies for us what the various steps are, and I hope you have it in front of you. But step 10 comes on the heels of making amends. We've been talking about making amends for a couple weeks, so where are we in the process here?
Well, we're at a great point. I can tell you this. These next three steps are kind of maintenance steps. So we're at step 10, and it says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And I got to tell you, that is a mouthful. Personal inventory, wrong, and prompt. Those are some words that can instill fear in the best of us. But basically, it's you know, can we stay sober and keep emotional balance during all conditions? And what do we do to make sure that we don't have to keep going back to the fourth and fifth step to unload our baggage? We don't want to walk around, you know, with all of these amends and things that we have to make and until our bags are full and we can't handle it anymore. This is a step that will allow us on a daily basis to eliminate those things so that we can be free and clear to hear from God.
Okay. And in a everyday, outside of a 12-step program, in an everyday kind of way, how does this look in the life of the believer? What does this step look like if you're just trying to live for Christ?
Yeah, you know, there's lots of suggestions for this, and there are a lot of scriptures, and we can get into those in a little bit. But a real simple thing, if you're, say, taking a daily inventory of yourself is at the end of the day, you get alone, get quiet, reflect on the day, and in the presence of God, say, where have I been selfish? Where have I been dishonest? Where have I been resentful? And where have I been fearful? Because it kind of covers the gamut of where we get off the beam in our Christian life. Selfish, dishonest, resentful, and fearful.
Because I'm thinking there have been various times in my life, maybe more often than I'd like to admit, where I should have said, where haven't I been selfish and dishonest? And, right? Let's just start there. It seems to make more sense to me. Wow. Good Lord. All right. So we got a lot of ground to cover because we're going to dig in. We're going to highlight some of those words that Lisa paused on there and dig in a bit. But I also want you to know that you are free to join the conversation here, particularly if you've been following the 12-Step series. And we had a lot of people come up to us this weekend, including at the other event I was at, the Scott Klusendorf Pro-Life event on Saturday morning, who came up and said, I've been listening intently to the 12-Step series because I've struggled with stuff in my past, and I'm finding a lot of freedom. And I know there was many people that came up and talked to you guys over the weekend about the same thing. But real quick before our break, and let me just ask Lisa the question. Who do you want to talk to today? Everyone's welcome to call for any reason, any question, any comment, anything related to Step 10 for sure, or anything in the series. But in your heart of hearts, who do you want to speak to today? Because I really believe that God, in fact, I'm going to ask you both this question, and then we'll go to break. But as you see it, who do you think we ought to be talking to today, and who do we hope to hear from?
Well, I'd love for people to call in that have experience with this, but I'd really love to hear from people who are struggling with it. People who have difficulty admitting they're wrong, people that have fear over promptly taking care of it. Because I'm telling you, this is the gateway to maintaining your freedom. And if Kathy and I can help in any way to decipher, what does this really mean? How do you really do this? That's why we're here. So I would love to hear from people who want to understand more about the whole concept of Step 10.
Okay. Kathy, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, again, anybody who's relating to the 12 steps in general, but especially the person on my heart would be those that are in the church who love the Lord and are feeling a lot of guilt, and I'm just not doing it right. I feel like I should have done better at this. I should have done better at that. They have strained relationships. They're not sure what's their part, what's someone else's part. There's a lot of confusion and being ill at ease in their own life. So.
You know, it strikes me even as you're saying that there's a lot of people who just think that's normal for what it means to be in Christ.
It's not normal.
That's not normal. That's living in bondage. Mm-hmm. That there is a freedom that's available that, as a listener, you may have never fully experienced, but it's really has a lot to do with Kathy's story and a great deal to do with Lisa's as well. So let me give the phone number, and I want to mention today that we're going to give out four books. Normally we give one or two, but we're actually going to give away four copies of Light in Our Darkness today. And if you guys have time during some of the breaks, I hope you'll sign them.
We'd love
to. So we'll be able to
absolutely
give away signed copies of Light in Our Darkness, plus my mom's book is there, and she said she wants her signed too.
Awesome.
So there we go. She's a big fan of your work and what God has done in your lives and is praying for you and cheering you on like the rest of us are as well. So I'm going to give the phone number here, and if you want to jump on board early, now's a great time to get in, and we'll randomly draw a name from a hat in just a couple minutes and give away some copies of those books to those who participate in today's conversation. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. You can join us at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Don't miss a rare opportunity to see and hear Dr. David Jeremiah at the Blue Cross Arena in Rochester Tuesday, April 9th. Get your free tickets at davidjeremiah.org.
Josh Baldwin coming back from the break. You know, reminds me of something we talked about in one of the earlier steps. Somebody, one of you, used the phrase that, like, we really don't do anything about our problems in life until our pain outweighs our fear. And I think, you know, when we begin to realize that there's hope, that hope exists in Christ, that we can be different, we can be free, we can live in the things that he has for us, as opposed to always falling prey to the enemy's schemes in our life, something wells up within us, and fear doesn't stand a chance against that. All of a sudden, we begin to cry out and ask for help. And in fact, we got a song we're playing later today from Plum called God Help Me. And it always occurs to me every time I hear that song that when we finally recognize that we're powerless to change our situation on our own and we begin to look to him, that's when stuff starts to change. And it's the genesis of this entire series we're doing, this 12-step series on Mondays, because heading into the new year, I was kind of like, how many of us look at our lives and go, you know, there's something in my life, there's anger, there's bitterness, there's an addiction to food or drugs or alcohol or pornography or something. There's something going on in my life that needs to change, and it just hasn't ever changed. So I keep making promises to myself that things are going to be different, but nothing ever really changes. And then the opportunity came up. I know we talked with Zach about this, and it was like, what if we began to address how some of that change could happen? But it really starts the minute we recognize that we need Jesus, and that it is possible, if we let him take control of our life, that when we're powerless, he shows himself strong. And so the 12 steps gave us a biblical way to begin to really look at the scripture behind all this and find out what this road to freedom looks like. So here we are now, after the first 9 steps of really being able to see the problem in our life. Finally, our eyes are open, we can see the problem, and we've begun to do something about it, making amends to people wherever possible. And it brings us to step 10, that we continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admit it. Okay, so let's dive in right there. And again, the phone number is 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Any of you have a question, a comment, testimony to share? Some of you have been through 12-step programs. Some of you have been listening to the series. Maybe you just want to get your name in the hat for a copy of the book. Tell us why. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, step 10. Lisa, let me throw it to you. And where do we go from here?
So anything that we continue at, usually we get better at. I mean, you know, let's face it, nobody really wants to admit that they're wrong. I don't care. But here's the...
one time I was...
Yeah, right, one time. Remember the font? Really close, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But I think that when you realize that there is a freedom that's attached with that admitting, if you will, that it kind of nullifies that word wrong. I mean, there's other words to describe that, but I know for me, what this step does for me is it really makes my conscience very, very tender. Mm-hmm. Because when you've got to, at the end of the day or during the day or whenever, when you've got to review your day and your actions, it's hard, but when you know that if you just cop to it and you say, hey, I did it, I'm sorry, there's a freedom that comes with that. And not only a freedom, but an understanding. So when it happens again, some radar goes off. And it's like, okay, you've been through this again. Do you want to make amends? Or would you rather just, you know, do what you're supposed to do and not have to carry this thing around? And I think that's what this step gives you an opportunity to do. It gives you an opportunity to start kind of cleaning up your side of the street without carrying it around. And you know how it is when you carry something around, it seems like it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. So the quicker that you can release this, the quicker you can have your freedom. And when you're walking in freedom and not bondage, you can hear the voice of God clearer. You can love people more because you're not focused on yourself. Mm-hmm. And so this is one of those steps that really opens, it just opens such a broad highway for us to walk on.
Some of you have seen that, you've lived it, you know it to be true, and you want to say, I totally agree. Feel free to underscore Lisa's comments with your own thoughts. We'd love to hear your feedback on that. In other words, is that true? But others may have a hard time wrapping your brain around it, or you just disagree. You're welcome to join the conversation as well. 800-684-2848 888-253-5000 or 883-5000. But Kathy, what do you want to add to what Lisa just said?
Yeah, you know, we were laughing about it as we were driving here today because it's like, yeah, I don't want to make that amend. I'll just stop. You know, I don't want to have to go through the process of, you know, making the amend for the bad behavior. But, you know, we say in 12-step rooms that at first we weren't even aware we were doing it. Like, I wasn't aware that I was reacting out of fear of losing you as a friend, and therefore I wouldn't tell you the truth, and I try and sort of frame what I was saying so that you would, you know, remain my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't even aware I was doing that. And then as I'm working these steps and, you know, meeting with my sponsor, I become aware while I'm doing it. Then I become aware before I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it rarely comes up that it's a motivation. And that is a process of transformation.
Sure.
And that's what happens with this. And you were talking earlier, Neil, about how, you know, we know we've got this addiction, or I keep binging on Netflix, or, you know, pornography, or, you know, I'm just sad all the time. I don't know how, I keep complaining, gossiping, whatever the thing is. One of the things, and it's like, what should I do about that? I want to do something, but we don't know how to go about it. And right. The 12 steps really does that. And I know in the rooms that I attend, we say today, just for today, I will have a program. I may not work it perfectly, but today I will have a program. And that's what this does. It gives you at least a framework to really start targeting some of these things and get some freedom from them.
All right. I want to start with Debbie in Jamestown real quick. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Remember, any question, any comment, whatever you're thinking right now about our conversation or about the 12 steps or what's being said here, you're welcome to join us. So however the Spirit leads you or prompts you, feel free to join in. But Debbie, welcome to NBL. Yeah. You're on with Lisa and Kathy. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well, and I think it's a God-given gift that I had found you. I like to sort of just get in the car, turn the radio on, and I wish I had heard your broadcast on the first 9 steps.
Well, wait a second. Wait. Before you go on, can I just add something here?
Sure.
On our website, wdcxradio.com.
Okay. Let me write this down.
Okay. Here we go. Wait, I got to find a pen. Okay, where's a piece of paper?
okay, I have it.
All right, you got it? Okay. WDCX, like Washington, D.C., WDCXradio.com.
Okay.
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 Then write the word media, because there's a tab on the front page called media.
Okay.
And then when you click on that tab, there's another option called Audio Vault.
Okay.
And then under the audio vault, click on NBL. That stands for Neil Boron Live. NBL
okay.
Show Moments or something. I forget what it's called. But once you get in there, what you're going to find is the first 9 steps. And there was actually 9 was broken into 2 parts. So there's probably 10 shows in there. But Zach Mann is loading them in.
Okay.
I think there's 11 different shows in there, including an overview
Wonderful.
Show. But you'll find them all in there,
okay.
Debbie. But okay. But back to your question, because you were going to say something, and all I only said that to say that there is an option and an opportunity for you or anyone else to hear the rest of this entire series. But
okay.
Something prompted you to call today, so go ahead.
What had prompted me to call today is I still struggle. I am alcohol-free. I kept slipping. I was free for 8 years, slipped, relapsed. And to make a long story short, AA, I don't want to put them down. They were a wonderful group. But for me, I do believe in Christ, and it's helped me more than just when you go to an AA meeting. They talk about having a higher power. My higher power is God, and it's helped me. And I'm wondering, my question to you is there any place in the Jamestown area that uses the 12 steps? But it's not just like AA. Do you know what I mean? And it just covers like other addiction.
Okay. I'm going to have Lisa respond first, then Kathy, and then I may have some info for you a little bit later, but go ahead.
So I think, you know, I know that there's Celebrate Recovery that focuses on Jesus as our
yeah.
higher power. And I'm sure you
okay.
could look that up online. But I'd like
okay.
to say this, and this is just my personal opinion. I wish you'd give it another try and try some other meetings, because, you know, my personal story is that Jesus is alive and well inside of the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And
okay.
And let me just give you a little story. So when I started attending 12-step meetings, I really felt like God was mad at me. I felt like he didn't like me at all. And what I found in those rooms were hurting people who loved each other. They may cuss.
Okay.
God may not, they may not have the Christian ease or the ability to articulate that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. But what happened to me was, through the love of others and the acceptance of others and being in a place where I felt like those people cared about me, I started working the steps. And when I started working the steps, I had people come alongside of me. Actually, I was given a set of tapes by a TV evangelist, and I listened to him, and that's how I accepted Christ in my life, through someone in 12-step recovery. So I just want to encourage you, because there's so many great people who could come alongside you and hold you accountable. And that's the piece of 12-step that we need the most, Debbie. And you know what? What I hear in your voice is, that's what you want. I mean, that's what you called for. So I do.
And
yeah.
I still struggle. And can I just say one thing?
Sure.
I started to go back to the meetings, and in all honesty, I had trying to work a lot, and this lady hung up on me only because I told her I could not make the meetings as often as they told me I should, and that I was going to try this program in Buffalo, New York area. It's called Women for Sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, well, that's not going to work for you, and she hung up on me. And ever since then, I felt so uncomfortable about going into that those meetings.
Well, Debbie, here's the thing you have to remember. The people that go to those meetings are sick people. They're hurting people. That's why they're going to the meetings. And, you know, God may have you in a place that your love and your tenderness towards people could help them, where there's other people that their accountability gifts could help you. And
I see.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not disregarding your...
No, you're not. I so understand what you're saying. And I felt so intimidated and unwelcome about going back there.
Yeah. Find another meeting. Just find another meeting, because I'm telling you, you know, just look up Alcoholics Anonymous online and find another meeting and check it out. And if you don't like that meeting, then go to another meeting. There's something out there for you.
There definitely is. And I was just confirming, looking online, that there are multiple AA meetings in the Jamestown area. There's also, as Lisa mentioned, a Celebrate Recovery meeting in Warren, PA, which is not that far from you in the Jamestown area. But do you have a second for Kathy to respond to you as well?
I'm sorry?
Do you have 1 minute for Kathy to speak to you as well?
I sure do.
Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, Debbie, I really can relate to your experience where there's been, say, a dominant personality in a meeting or someone that you've been getting to know who doesn't agree with just your particular need and you're looking for something else. And, you know, there can be those strident personalities in the rooms of 12-step recovery. But, you know, we say that 12-step is our advocation. It's not our vocation. It's not our church. It's not the different things that we have in life. It advocates for us to have accountability so that we can stay healthy in the rest of our life. It's not our life. And so I really agree with Lisa that just keep trying different meetings and just see, you know, I believe that God is, as you're asking the Lord to lead you, that he'll take you someplace where you really feel like you can find a home with people that will advocate for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just, in my opinion, I just feel like if it's more Christ-based, that the people are going to be gentler there. They're going to, you know, they're going to be nicer. They're not going to be so abrupt and just like more one-sided. And I could be so wrong here, but that's what my feelings are.
Well, here's the other thing. It's just a matter of how desperate you are to save your life. And And I'm not advocating anybody being mean or being harsh, but, you know, I'll tell you, I needed to hear some things that were hard for people to say. And when they said them in a way to accommodate my feelings, I could overlook that. So sometimes we need to hear things in a way that they are brutally honest. And I'll tell you, honesty hurts sometimes, but the people who have helped me the most in my life were willing to be honest with me. And so
I
totally hear your spirit in this, but I am just going to cheer you on that you are going to go and try another meeting, and I believe that God is going to provide for you exactly what you need, Debbie.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, and
Debbie.
I will pray about this.
Debbie, one other thing here. Proverbs 27:6 says, "The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but faithful are the wounds of a friend." And so it's important at times to let people who love and care about us or who care about our future tell us the truth, and sometimes that's going to hurt. So keep that in mind. And the last question I have for you, what part of New England are you from?
Massachusetts.
How far from Boston?
Another hour north of Boston, Tewksbury, Mass.
Okay. Do me one favor. Yeah. Just one favor, because I went to school in Boston, and I love your accent, and I miss it.
Oh, thank you.
Just say the number that comes after 39.
40.
There you go. I just missed hearing that for so long. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in football, everybody wants to know how fast you are and how fast you can run the 40 dash, you know? It's unbelievable. All right.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to get on your website. And so what state am I talking to, if you don't mind me asking?
The program's originating out of Buffalo, New York, and you're probably...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we cover Jamestown area. That's how you're listening to us. So.
Yes, okay.
Hey.
I love your show.
Thanks. Become a regular listener. We'd love to have you, Debbie. All right?
I will. You take good care, and God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, so if you want to get in on the conversation, any question, any comment, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We'll be back with more. Oh, and by the way, your participation qualifies you to win a copy of Light in Our Darkness from Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray.
Sing for joy, my heart is heavy all my days.
Oh, yeah. NBL. Is Neil Boron live?
Something else, you know, you just may be a kind of a casual listener, but you're enjoying the conversation you've been hearing over the last few months, literally, as we work through the 12 steps here with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray. Just saying, you know, I'd love to get their story. I'd love to hear the story of what God has done in their lives. It's told in the book called Light in Our Darkness, which features not only Lisa and Kathy's story, but also the life story of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who today is home with Jesus, but who was a renowned abortionist and later came to his senses and renounced all of his work in the abortion industry and began advocating for life, spent the rest of his life trying to undo what he had done in the passage of Roe v. Wade and 75,000 deaths of unborn children. It's incredible how all three stories have similarities and how God was faithful to rescue each from the situation that they were in. So all of that is in Light in Our Darkness. And if you think you want a copy of that, get on board and tell us what's interesting or intriguing about these conversations, and we'll be happy to put your name in a hat for a chance to win. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, quickly to Io, one of our most faithful listeners on the planet. And Io, you're on with both Lisa and Kathy. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, like all of you guys over there.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
We are loving life right now because God is good.
Yes.
So.
I'm doing them. Ladies, I tell you, I've been following your 12 steps on the radio, and every time I'm listening, I'm taking notes. God bless you guys, man, because your testimony is just so powerful. And I want to thank Zach for finding you, because bottom line, at the end of the day, is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Amen.
And you guys are just an example of what freedom looks like. You know, I want to tell people that are listening right now, if you're still new to this thing called relationship with Christ, just take this simple idea, ABC. A means you got to admit that you need Him. B is got to you believe that definitely you need Him. And C is you got to commit because I'll give you the best example of commitment. Commitment is like when you go get yourself a breakfast, maybe egg and sausage. The egg is involved in the breakfast, but the sausage is committed. That means that pig gave up everything. Mm. Your life is about giving up everything. Let Christ control your life, and you see freedom coming in. And it's a process, right, ladies?
That's
absolutely.
Right.
That's what it is.
Totally.
This is a process. Brother Neil, if you can get these ladies at Church of the Beach, Church on the Beach, one of these days, that would be awesome, because I can't wait for that, for Church on the Beach to be so packed, because you guys are going to draw so many people out there.
I already floated the idea for 2020. Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
God
there you
bless
go.
You guys. Man. Love you.
Thanks,
Io.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Truth is, he had me at sausage, actually. 800-684-2848. Or 883-5000, whatever God's speaking to your heart. We want to give you an opportunity to share it and know that you're in friendly territory here. Let's go back to the words real quick, because we want to kind of highlight some of the aspects of Step 10, and you're always good at stopping for a minute to say, let's not skim over this word. It means something.
Well, when we look at this, it says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And, you know, the more we practice honesty, humility, and reflection, the less apologies we have to make. So taking a personal inventory actually means taking stock in our emotional upheavals, disturbances, you know, those emotions and things that lead us back to our addiction, whatever that is, whether it's codependency, whether it is alcohol, food, it doesn't matter. But in the original text of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it talks about disturbances and being unwilling to accept them. And this is a great few paragraphs on acceptance. I tell you, I fought this when I first heard it tooth and nail, because I was like, I'm not, you can't tell me I have to accept everything. So I want to read this, and I want, you know, let it marinate with you, because it's a lot to take in, but it is some of the most freeing words and principles that you can allow into your life. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, or thing, situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this very moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, addiction, codependency, food addiction, pornography addiction, whatever it is, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely, on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes.
Wow.
That's a heck of a lot to lay down, but I'll tell you, when you use this in conjunction with that 10th step, it does exactly what I was talking about when he called. Where the Lord is, there's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's depending on the Lord. Nothing happens in God's world by mistake. It's how we perceive it and what our expectations are of that thing, person, situation.
All right. And I know Kathy's probably going to want to respond to some of that. And we'll get to Nancy in just a moment, but we're going to take a break just to stay on track. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Nancy, you're going to be next, so hang on. We're coming your way here in just a moment. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Any question or comment, we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, go ahead. Pick up the phone and give us a call.
Got a bunch of calls to get to here. We'll start with Nancy, Luana, and then on to the rest of you. 800-684-2848, 883-5000. Nancy, thanks for holding through the break. Looking forward to seeing what's on your heart.
I'm just calling to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I called in probably 3-4 weeks ago, You sent me the book Light in Our Darkness. And today I was going to go to my small group, and we're doing this great book. And I thought, no, I've got to stay home and finish reading this. And I just didn't have to. I just felt the Lord calling me here. And I just want to say thank you. Probably when I read the book, I can resonate with so much of this. But what I resonated so much with was Kathy. When God intersects in our darkness and gives us light, and you walk in the light of Christ's freedom. And I still go back to Galatians 3, oh, you foolish Galatians, you started in the Spirit, and who bewitched you? And I'm so thankful to receive this book about a week ago. It took a while to get to Canada, and I just want to say thank you so much, because I have light in this little Bruce Reed who was walking in light, and I fell into religiosity again. And that can't happen. And I just need to be in a place, and I need to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. And I am so grateful that He has led us on a move and in a healthy church. And I just want to say thank you, Kathy, Lisa, and Neil. You've been very much part of that journey.
Wow. It's so encouraging to hear. Getting freedom from the spirit of religiosity. Mm-hmm. You are speaking Kathy Gray's language right now.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say,
sure.
I had grown up in a church, and I was a good little girl, and I, by choice, I chose to go to a Roman Catholic university. I have a degree in nutrition, LOL, Kathy.
Oh, fun.
And I was a registered dietitian, and I tried to do everything right, but I knew it deep inside I could gravitate to my Lisa side, and I got that. And honestly, at 33, I was sitting in a church, and I heard a pastor speak on David and his sin, and I thought, man, if God can forgive David, He can forgive me. And that started me on a path, but I haven't learned to test the spirits appropriately in all things. And I recognize that in reading your book, that there's a judgmentalism in our Christian faith that we really need to give up to the Lord. And Bob Goff's book, Everybody Always, we have to love people where they're at and be done with all the rules and just say, hey, we either move towards God or away from Him, and we got to draw people towards the heart of Jesus Christ. And so thank you for sharing this book, because this has been a huge opener for me.
Well, I think you can help them write the next book, all three of you, because they're sitting here nodding. Kathy, how about a response for Nancy here?
Oh, Nancy, I just love everything that you're sharing, the Galatians 3 passage, and being hooked on religiosity and then that judgmental spirit. And, you know, as you were talking, I kept thinking, it's really all based in fear. So for me, I wanted to do it right. I mean, I was somewhat motivated because I loved Jesus and what He'd done for me. But primarily it was I was afraid of how my life would turn out if I didn't do it a certain way. And I didn't trust the Lord to take care of me. And then the judgmental thing, I'm fearful of someone who is living so differently or so outside of the bounds of what the Lord has said is healthy for us as His people. And so I'm not trusting God to be able to speak to them, and I'm not loving them where they're at. And so what I'm hearing, and you're hitting on it so beautifully, but the bottom line is fear. And perfect love casts out that fear. So drawing close to the heart of God, that love that we experience from our Father, that's what gets rid of the fear, and we can live joyous, happy, and free.
Yeah.
Thank you. And also, Lisa, I just have to say, after I read your book, I had to listen to your, and I would encourage any listener listening to Google your convocation address to Liberty University and the pastor that spoke after.
Yeah.
I just sent that to friends and said, please take an hour and listen to this. It's so powerful. And I just praise God for your faithfulness. I feel very thankful.
Oh, Nancy, thank you so much. It's so encouraging, trust me, to hear that. And it just fuels my fire. So thank you. I appreciate that. God bless you.
Yeah. God bless you. Thanks, Nancy.
Bless you all. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, I want to get to Luana quick, and I realize we probably ought to be taking a break, but I don't want to make her hold too much longer. Cindy, we'll get to you right after the break. Martha, after that. But Luana, I believe you may have called in a previous conversation, even before our 12-step series, to talk with me, at least, or maybe Kathy, about some of Lisa's story. I could be wrong in that, but is this the same Luana by any chance?
Yes, it's the same Luana.
Incredible. So here's what happened. I had Lisa on one day, and we were talking about your story and the book and everything. Then Lisa had to leave and drive back to Batavia to speak at a crisis pregnancy center banquet for All Babies Cherished. Kathy joined me via phone that day from Texas, and I believe you called in during that segment. But you had a comment to share, Luana?
Yes, I just want to say that step is very important to me in my life, and it is fear. You know, it's the fear that we have that God is displeased with us, you know, and it's the fear of for me, it was thinking that everybody's judging me because how could, you know, here at one point I was really, really involved in a ministry all in his name, and then I backed away a little bit. And then I happened to get addicted to crack cocaine. Mm-hmm. And it coming back in the fellowship with the Lord and repenting of my sin, it was fear, and it's that self-talk in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's going on. But I'm blessed by the program, Neil. I listen to it every Monday.
You know,
and I listen on a regular basis too.
I had, can I just say real quick?
Go on.
I had the joy of interviewing Luana, I think in the 1980s or early 90s, about her own testimony, her own story, and some of the road that she's walked, which is, it's so hard to even listen to your story, Luana, and yet Jesus set you free. Sounds like you struggled again, and yet He's the God of second and third and fourth chances, because His mercy's new every single morning, and His grace is sufficient. And to know that you're back home where you belong.
Yes, I'm regularly involved in AA. I pick up men at Freedom Village and take them to meetings. I pick up the women and take them to meetings. I'm also involved in Collateral Hope, which was started about a year and a half ago by Victor Bagnato, and I attend that on a regular basis on Thursday night here.
Good for you. Yeah, she's been set free from an awful lot, but this young woman is a miracle, as all of us are, of God's grace and freedom. And doesn't it bless you to know that she's been tuned into this thing the whole time?
Luan, I can't tell you. This is Lisa. I cannot tell you how much it inspires us that you're listening, because you know how it is. You go through your life. You want, you know the slogan, you got to give it away to keep it, right?
Yes.
And you're doing that. And that's what this is. And it's just, you know, there, we have such a community in 12-step recovery. A community of authenticity and transparency. And that's the thing that really crushes fear and shame and all those things, being authentic. Yes. And I'll tell you, girl, you know, you coming on here, telling your stuff, you know, I mean, it is, you're so powerful in the fact that you call and you're honest. And I just want to keep encouraging you and thanking you that, you know, we're helping you, and I'm grateful for that. But it's people like you that continue to help us. So thank you for calling in, Luana, and God bless you. May He open up the windows of heaven and pour out every single blessing He has for you.
Amen. Now, one of you is going to pray for her before we let her go, all right?
I'd love to pray for her. This is Kathy, Luana. Father, I thank you for Luana's life. I thank you that you had her steps ordained before she ever took one of them. And I bless this beautiful daughter of yours. I bless her to flourish, Jesus. And that the lies of the enemy, when they come into her mind, that she raises a song of joy and of truth, and that lie is drowned out and broken off.
Yes.
I pray that you would bring into her life every resource that's necessary for her to carry out the purposes that you've given to her. I pray that you give her dreams and visions and encounters with you that will so reach those recesses of her heart where she wants to love you fully. And I just bless her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. And Luana, listen, when you called in back whenever it was in the fall, I believe, I wrote down your name and number and stuff, and I've got it on the right-hand side of my desk. I had it in my hand just the other day. So we're going to get in touch, and you got to come in and tell your story one day, okay?
Yes, I would love to do that. I would love to.
All right. God bless. Thanks, Luana.
God bless.
We'll be back in a moment. Cindy, I know you're going to have to hold for a little bit, but we're coming your way. Martha, right after that, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We'll continue with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray. Go to lisakratzthomas.com. That's K-R-A-T-Z, lisakratzthomas.com. Or KathyGrayDreamers.com for more information. And by the way, this book, Light in Our Darkness, is available at Barnes & Noble.
In the social media world of selfies, likes, and shares, NBL is your lifeline for real talk about real stuff.
So we're back again on a Monday edition of NBL. And if I can get Lisa and Kathy to stop dancing for a minute, we'll be able to take more phone calls here. This is when we should be on Facebook Live. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Martha, we're coming your way in a second, but Cindy was first, so let me just jump in here. And Cindy, you had a question, I think, about Al-Anon. I'm not sure what you were going to say, but welcome to NBL. You're on with Lisa and Kathy. How are you?
Hi. Thank you, ladies, and thank you, Neil, for this program. I've been listening every Monday, and I finally got the courage to call in.
Hey, perfect.
It'll be 2 years that I lost somebody who passed away suicide with alcoholism. I'm just wondering if it's still – I attended all the meetings with him, all the rehab stunts, all the things that were offered. The only thing I did not go to was Al-Anon. Obviously, he's no longer here. And I'm dealing with the guilt, I should have, what if, on a daily basis. And it's tearing me apart. And my thought was, through listening to this and everything being dissected for somebody like me to understand, I mean, he tried, and this program was beneficial in doing it. I'm wondering if it would be wise for me to attend Al-Anon, though he's not here, because it's impacted my life so much.
All right. Kathy, you want to handle that one?
Yeah, I am so glad for that question, because when I started into a 12-step program for friends and families of alcoholics, I didn't have any active alcoholics in my life at that time. And I so resonated with everybody there, but I thought you had to sort of be married to an alcoholic in order to be in that program. I just kind of wanted to be an honorary member. You know, would you keep me around? Because everything you're saying applies to me so much. And, you know, what happened for me was they started talking about things that were so eating away at my insides, this guilt. Why couldn't I stop, you know, things in my family that had gone on, things that I was so afraid about my children using and having alcohol problems in the future, which they did. Yes, go to Al-Anon. It's a perfect thing for you to do, because that guilt over what happened in someone else's life doesn't belong to you. But it's very difficult to get it out of all of those pores of your soul when you love someone so deeply. And it's
right.
So deeply disappointing that they're gone. And what could you have done different? Al-Anon is fantastic for helping you to sort through those things.
Great. I do struggle with that daily, some days worse than others. And, you know, I supported him. It's not like I didn't, but there was a time where I had to cut the ties, and I could not allow him here in that condition, or, you know, how that goes. And that's where a lot of it comes in. Maybe I should have. Maybe I would have, you know, when he was reaching out to me. So I do work on it in therapy, but I thought people that live it, as he used to tell me, he said, I like the raw and the real. He preferred being in the group than to counselors because they lived it. And he could say, you are me, I am you. And he used to come home and tell me that's where he could really open up. So I was thinking, as you were dissecting things through the weeks, that sounds like something that I might, and other people in my position might benefit from. So, you know, that's what my question was. I just need to find one.
Yes, absolutely. You can go on to the internet and find an Al-Anon group. Just type that in and you will find one. But let me tell you, in my own life, I felt tremendous guilt over my own brother's struggle with addiction. This is long before I got into the 12-step program. And he was murdered before I was, before he got out of his addiction. That's not what killed him, but it was such a struggle. And I saw how deeply he wrestled, and I felt so helpless. And then I felt guilt that I wasn't able to have a closer relationship with him, that what I did in my life, you know, didn't affect his life. And I'm here to tell you, you did not cause that person to drink. We cannot make another person drink, and we can't stop another person from drinking, although we can contribute to the cycle of insanity in our relationship. And that's why for you, Al-Anon would be fantastic, because it can help you stop some of the behaviors that cause you torment and help you to have peace and joy, even when others around you might still be in an addiction.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. The torment is the word, and the guilt isn't that I couldn't. I just wondered, you know, there's a lot of what ifs, how come, you know, stuff like that. The last thing slipped my mind, but each Monday, it was like, check, check, bingo. Mm. I'm like, I have to call. I have to call. So,
I'm so glad you
thank
did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.
I'm so grateful for this program. I know there's another caller. Thank you so much for the help.
You're welcome.
Be blessed.
And feel free to call back again. We'd love to have you back. You know, I'm just thinking too, before we get to Martha, and we won't, don't worry, Martha, it's only going to be a second, but how many people love someone who's addicted to pornography or gambling or drugs or alcohol or food addiction? You know, they're literally eating themselves into oblivion. That passive suicide. I think she used that term, right? Yeah. Passive suicide. And the guilt that one feels, either because they're cooperating with it to some degree and are codependent like that, or just haven't known what to do to help. And they feel like it's their fault. Maybe if I was different, I could help them. Or if I was just better at helping them, maybe they'd stop. Or if I wouldn't cause them to be angry, maybe they wouldn't drink. I mean, think about all the stuff that goes through somebody's head. So now we're talking to thousands of people who are thinking about a child or a spouse or a loved one of some kind that's struggling with something, and yet we're bearing the guilt and shame of all that. And that's exactly why we need the freedom that you're describing, Kathy. So well said. All right, Martha, thanks for holding. You're an amazing sister in Christ, and so patient. I love it. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 if you want to get on board. But Martha, you had a comment to make, and we're ready to hear it. So what's up?
Hi. Thank you for your show. I've been a long-time visitor, listener, although I kind of stopped. But here goes.
Sure.
I'm not really good at talking on the radio. I started with my Christian walk when I was 30. Former husband witnessed to me, and I wanted what he had. But I always struggled with repentance. I am dual diagnosed bipolar with drug addiction. And last year, I was separated from my husband, and I got into hard drugs. I always had the trust issue with the Lord. I know I read the Psalms, and I underline trust every time David says, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. And I go to meetings, and nothing helps me. I guess, Neil, I'm a perfectionist like you. I want everything to come out perfect, and I throw my arms up in the air when I look at my house. And nothing seems to get through to me. And I was praying the other day, Lord, show me a sign that I am saved. Just
please. And I think I got it today listening to your show, and I just thank you so much.
No kidding. Now, why? Let me just back up for a second. Why would you feel like you're not a believer simply because you struggle with trust? Do you think others who know and love the Lord don't struggle with trust?
I just feel that a void inside of me, and I'm in rehab now with my drug addiction, and that void isn't being filled by anything. I go through my days, I wake up sad, I don't have the joy and peace that I know I should have. I go to church, and I'm showing up for my sing-song act. You know, I'm a pew warmer, and I'm so hard on myself. And my husband just throws his arms up in the air, too, and he doesn't know what to do with me. And I'm all over the place every day.
Wow, so honest. I appreciate you sharing that. Lisa, do you want to respond to her?
I do. Martha, thanks for calling and being so open and honest. So you said you're in rehab right now. Is it outpatient rehab?
Outpatient.
Okay. Does that include a meeting when you go to the outpatient rehab?
Yes. I go to a ladies' meeting every Monday and Wednesday. Actually, I'm going at 6:00, and it's helping listening to other people's stories that we're all in the same boat. And I have a 12 Steps for Christians, and it concentrates though on coming from a chaotic background. And my parents raised me. I wasn't raised in the church, but they raised me with all the love and hope that any parent would have. And I had no problems at home.
Let me just interject this. Let me just interject this. This is my suggestion to you. If you came to me and said, Lisa, I want you to sponsor me and walk with me through these steps, my first suggestion to you would be you need to go to a meeting every day. It's not about legalism. It's not about checking the box. You need a good brainwashing. I mean, listen, I needed industrial strength cleaner to wash my brain, girlfriend, okay? So I'm not suggesting anything that I didn't do. I used to go to 3 to 4 meetings a day because I'll tell you why. I was just like you. All I could think about when I got out of those meetings was if I have 2 hours, I didn't trust myself not to go get high, not to find a drink. So I immersed myself in the culture of 12-step recovery. I went to a meeting at 7, at noon, at 5, and at 8 every single day for 2 years. And I didn't do it because I was a good, responsible person. I was a sick puppy who needed some help. And I got it in those rooms. I also, in between those meetings, I listened to it would be podcasts now, but I listened to messages. I read books. I got cassette tapes by Joe and Charlie who break down the steps. I mean, I did every minute of my day, I immersed into the culture of 12-step recovery. Because this is what happens. It takes us 30 years to get into a mess. And in 2 weeks, we want God to clean up what we did in 30 years. And it just doesn't work that way. Listen,
right.
The fact that you called here today, okay, is the fact that you want to be sober and you want a different life. And you know, it says if you want what we have, then you'll do what we did. And so I'm just encouraging you, up those meetings, girl. Find you a good sponsor that holds you accountable, that won't listen to your bull when you know you give it to her. You've got to find people that hold you to a level of accountability. So you've got to be brutally honest with yourself. And let me tell you something. That's when the real, true redemption, love, and grace of God will come in, and it will knock you off your feet, and you will never, ever, ever have to say out of your mouth, I just can't get it, because you will get it in a huge way. So, Martha, you up those meetings, you just immerse yourself in that culture, and Jesus is waiting with his arms wide open for you.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. So well said. You know, for Martha and any others who may be in the same boat, because you might have been talking to hundreds of people at the exact same time, just before we go to break, let's just pray for that very situation, because I think there's a whole lot of people spinning their wheels who really need to immerse.
Father God, we just want to thank you for the opportunities that you give us to get better. Yes, Lord, God. You knew that there were people who needed to hear your word and your message in a way that they could receive it and they could digest it. Father, just I'm asking you to move on the hearts of anyone that's experiencing that pain. It is a pain that you can't describe. It is a pain that makes you feel so lonely and so separated. And Jesus, we know that you are the only one who can remedy that thing in us. So God, today, let this message go to its full extent. Take it to every person who needs to hear it. Lord, and just stimulate in their hearts that there is no shame, there is no guilt in reaching out and saying, I need help and I need Jesus. Father, we know you're going to do it. We know you answer our prayers. You said that when we ask, you will answer. So we believe it. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We'll be back in a moment with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray, co-authors of Light in Our Darkness. If you want to join us with any kind of a question or comment, you've been listening for a few minutes or through the entire series over the last few months. Either way, feel free to pick up the phone and join us. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Having trouble getting WDCX in your home or office? Listen online at WDCXradio.com.
So real quick before we continue, and let me give you the phone number again. You don't want to hesitate because we only got a half an hour left here, and you want to get on board while you can. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. I'm listening to Austin Stone here and how deep the Father's love for us. Lisa, when you were talking, the impression I got in your response to Martha was when you strip away all the garbage, when you get enough help that the fog begins to lift, all of a sudden you realize that in your sin and brokenness how incredibly loved you are by God. And it's the game changer.
It is the game changer. And that's what these steps do. As we've been going through this, the steps are the things that strip away that outer shell that has stopped us from accepting the love of Christ. And once you can move through that, it's so immense. And you know, when you've been in a really deep hole, I heard a saying one time, it was the people who have been pulled from the deepest hole have the highest praise. And
that's good.
You know, and I liked that because I was like, yeah, I like high praise. Mm-hmm. So that's what the steps do for us.
Step 10 is the one we're focused on today. It's about continuing to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitting it. Lisa, you specifically spoke about a few of the words there, but I think Kathy has some stuff to add to this as well. So let's dig a little deeper.
Yeah. You know, at the beginning, we said a good way to a little format to follow to evaluate a day would be to see where you've been selfish, dishonest, resentful, or fearful. But, you know, this is, you know, when we talk about step 10, it's the first of the maintenance steps. And, you know, one of the reasons we love step 10 so much is because we're hooked on the freedom it brings. You know, I am so hooked on a lack of internal chaos. Serenity is a non-negotiable in my life now. I can't live with that kind of chaos anymore. I'm hooked on resting easy at night. I'm hooked on not trying to avoid anyone because, you know, it took me a long time to take this broken down life and restore it. Say it was a house, you know, you restore this house. And now daily I need to keep the windows clean. You know, the plumbing didn't even work in my house before. You know, now I just want to keep it cleaned up. I want to do daily maintenance, that kind of thing, because I don't want to go back into that place where everything was so broken and I felt so toxic.
Yeah. I was thinking about the psalmist who said in, I think it's Psalm 139, yeah, search me, O God, and know my heart. Mm-hmm. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, mm-hmm. and lead me in the way everlasting. Does that come into play in a step like this where we're asking God to reveal? That as we take personal inventory, it's Holy Spirit-driven personal mm-hmm. inventory. Is that part of the plan?
It is, absolutely. I mean, because remember, and we say this every week, that the steps are in order for a reason. The first three, I can't. He can, I'm going to let him. So the thing about working these steps is you work a step, you practice a step when it's applicable to that situation. And so, you know, you're living these steps and you're adopting them into your life. And so when you do this 10th step, you're already in communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about this is the, you know, you're promptly willing. That means you want to do it quickly,
mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't, like I said, you know, build up and then you have to go in and scrape the residue, if you will. And, you know, two examples I want to share about this. First is, you know, when you've got kids and you know, may make some mistakes with your kids, I think one of the hardest things to do is to make amends to your children, especially when they're teenagers.
Sure.
Because it's like, man, you want to have that control. You don't want them thinking that you're not doing it right. You know, all these different things. And, you know, I remember there were times with my daughter that I would just lose my cool and I would yell at her. And this step is the step that really mended our relationship, because I would feel at night, I would pray and I would feel God, the Holy Spirit, convicting my heart. You did not need to talk to her like that. What you said was legitimate, but how you said it to her was wrong. And I would go in to my 17 or 16, whatever age she was at the time, and I would say, I mean, with tears in my eyes, and say, I am so sorry for the way I talked to you. Would you please forgive me? And, you know, just as sweet as she could be, she'd say, yeah, Mom, I forgive you. And so that was such a, that was one of those things that kept showing me, the Lord kept showing me, take your responsibility. And what comes from that is much greater than the pain you feel by making that amend. And then I'm sure Kathy can share a little something between her and I.
Oh, yeah. No, we barely needed to use this step in our relationship. Lisa and I have known each other for 25 years, and you might guess we each have, you know, an opinion here or there. We're not wallflowers.
Just a little.
And we're so different in personality. And so we have had ample reason to use this step to take an inventory. You know what? I really wasn't looking at this from her perspective, and, you know, making the call and saying, hey, let's work this out. I am really sorry for my part. I'm going to make an effort in the future to be more prompt or to see it from your perspective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I really do value you. And that is why this relationship has lasted. Like, we would have no book if we hadn't mm-hmm. been practicing these steps, for sure.
I don't want to overstate the obvious, but really, this is iron sharpening iron.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
it's what we're called to in the body of Christ. And this kind of, you know, failure, admit it, confess it, forgive it, move on, is healthy in relationships, let alone in the body of Christ, isn't it? I mean, this is what we're called to be. Otherwise we get offended or we're afraid to admit our wrong, which is pride, and mm-hmm. God's opposed to the proud.
Right.
He gives grace to the humble. So all of a sudden, God gets involved. Like, you know what? If you want to be prideful and not admit your error, like, I'll make your life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he says that, but you know, you understand what I'm saying.
Well, you are miserable. I love what Chuck Swindoll says. He said, you know, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it.
Amen.
And so if you put that in this 10th step light, it loses its power and fear. The apology and the promptness and being wrong. It you know, it's almost like, just tell me what it is. And if you tell me what it is, I'd be glad. I mean, there's some times you kind of fight it. I didn't think I was doing that. But when you lay your head down at night and you realize, wait a minute, this is a valuable relationship. I have my side. And it is much easier when somebody says, let me explain to you what it is that is causing this conflict. Because when you know, knowledge is power. And when you know these things, I mean, Winston Churchill said, if you don't know history, it will repeat itself. So when you understand what you're doing, you can promptly make that amend,
mm-hmm.
and you can let it go.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about, and not a lot of time. If you've wanted to jump on board, now's the time to do it. And remember, we are giving away 4 copies of Light in Our Darkness today. randomly to those of you who've participated, and we're going to draw some names from a hat. We'll tell you who the winners are a little bit later on. But these are actually signed copies of Light in Our Darkness because Lisa and Kathy are in studio to sign them. So how cool is that? 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. There's more to come. If you want to learn more about their ministries, go to Lisa Kratz, K-R-A-T-Z, Thomas.com, LisaKratzThomas.com, or KathyGrayDreamers.com, KathyGrayDreamers.com.
WDCX Radio, have you liked us on Facebook?
Crowder's coming to Kingdom Bound 2019, and don't forget, ticket prices go up tonight. So midnight, I think, is the deadline, so save by getting your Kingdom Bound tickets. Go to kingdombound.org. Just real quick, the song Lift Your Head, Weary Sinner reminds me. When I was younger, I felt such a sense of shame that I thought I couldn't wait to get to heaven, but if I ever approached the throne, I wouldn't be able to look God in the eye, or Jesus sitting on the throne. I wouldn't be able to look him in the eye. And over the course of many years and a great deal of healing, I've really come to believe that grace is so ridiculously amazing and powerful that it strips away all of that stuff, and it allows us to know that in the depths of our sin, we are loved by God. Mm. And if we approach the throne, we can look at our Savior face to face, and he's happy to see us because he died for us. He died because of the mess we created. And I don't know, listening to you speak yesterday at City Church, you know, it was just, and watching you two guys, you know, praise God prior to all of that, and knowing the freedom that you've experienced in your life, I was just overwhelmed with the joy of the gospel and what it means for us. Because, you know, we don't have to live in bondage or fear or shame or brokenness. Freedom and healing is available in Christ. So grateful to be able to do this 12-step program with you guys. And by the way, if you want to join us, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. But, you know, as we've talked about this stuff and today's focus on step 10, one of the things we've highlighted is the scripture that backs up all of this. It's not only backs it up, it's what all of this is founded on, I think is a better way to say it. So where do we want to begin with this, maybe? Kathy?
Yeah, you know, this is because God is so big into relationships. You know, he died in order to get one with us, to restore it. He is paramount on this in our lives as well. So you can find even just scriptural check-in lists where you can evaluate on a periodic basis or a spot check during the day or maybe even just every night. But Psalm 1, you know, is very clear about what the godly person does. They don't walk in ungodly counsel. You know, are you listening to The View every day and getting all of your counsel from, you know, your unsaved friends? Don't hang out with those practicing sin. Who's closest to you? Who's in your inner circle? Doesn't mean you don't, you know, have friendships with people who don't believe the way you do, but are you hanging out with those? Are you seeing,
are they influencing you,
exactly,
or are you influencing that?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and are you hanging around mocking and complaining people? It says don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Are you delighting in God's word? Are you chewing on it, meditating on it? You know, there's a promise in there that if you're meditating on the word of God, that you're going to be like a tree by the water, and that tree never knows what drought is. You won't have a drought season in your life. So that's one of the passages. 1 Thess 5:14-22. It's where we hear the rejoice always, pray continually. There's a lot of checklists in there. And also in Ephesians 5, it talks about guarding your speech, your sexual conduct, fill your heart with worship, talks about greed, wisdom, making the most of every day. These scriptures are packed with great checklists for us to go through and just evaluate with the Lord. Lord, how is this playing out in my life, or what needs to play out, or I repent from that and I need to make amends to this person.
All right. Do you want to add anything?
Not to what Kathy said, but I do want to add another scripture.
Yeah.
So when we look at Matthew 7:4, or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? A lot of times we look at that in a sense of judgment, about judging your brother or judging someone. But if we look at step 10, it says continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So this scripture is, if you look at it in that light, it's talking about us take our own inventory and quit looking for someone else to blame. What is your part in this? Because every time I look for someone else and I point at someone else, I have three fingers pointing back at me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we look at God's word, he continuously shows us that we've got responsibility in our life, that we are responsible and to work out our own salvation. And what does that mean? By following those guides that he's given us. Look at what I've done and don't point at other people and blame them.
I'm just wondering, if it says to continue to take personal inventory, I mean, you suggested maybe doing this at night right before you go to bed or something like that. Does it have to be like that, or can it be, you know, okay, so let me see the look on your face. It could be anywhere, anytime.
It can. I mean, it can be during the day. It could be a spot check. And I think that's also when I said earlier about applying these principles that the steps bring to your life. It could be when you're driving in the car. I know I spend a lot of time when I'm in the car with no music on, with nothing. That's my time to talk to the Lord. And that's my time to say, if I come out of a meeting, you know, Lord, I said something in there that probably wasn't the right way. I didn't say it with kindness. Would you please forgive me? And do I need to make an amend for that? Something like that. And I'm sure Kathy has her own examples of that.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the literature of 12 steps, it suggests different things, you know, a spot check, you know, oh, you know, right now I can see that I'm really in turmoil, or I feel bad about something, or I'm anxious, fearful. The daily check can be morning, evening. It's not a hard and fast. Or then, you know, like monthly or yearly, sit down with a trusted mentor and go through, you know, hey, here are the things that I'm looking at. Here's the character defects that have really been bothering me. And I just want you to look over this with me. And in that counsel, iron sharpening iron, mm-hmm. you know, you can have a better perspective.
Okay, two questions that are, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, they're parallel to this, but not exactly on point maybe. What about, one of you can answer this maybe quickly before our break, but what about the person who tends to beat themselves up? Mm-hmm. And if making a mental checklist is really, in a sense, giving you fuel for your own fire, that part of your problem has been not walking in the grace of God, but instead saying, look at what a lousy, rotten person I am. And making this checklist tonight really confirms it, because look at all the ways I blew it today. So you can answer that one. Yeah. But then here's the other one. You answer, and I'll think of what it was because I forgot.
Okay. Okay, so part of this is we are learning to have compassion on ourselves as we're looking at the truth about our lives. So one of the questions we ask is, where were the victories today? Where did I practice the program? You know, and one of the ways, you know, everything is about our identity in Christ. Everything flows out of that. So what are the things I'm calling myself? What are the things that are going through my head? See, this is what 12-step taught me to do, is catch the flags in my mind. Like, wow, I just thought something really unkind towards myself. I would never say that to Lisa, but I'm saying it to myself. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing brings me in. What does the scripture say about me, mm-hmm. actually? Holy Spirit, will you tell me what you're thinking about me right now? I am always shocked when I ask that question. I feel so loved when the Lord comes back and tells me what he's thinking about me.
And God always has different things to say about us than we would say about ourselves.
That's right.
So, you know, we should say, God, what you say is what mm-hmm. really matters. Real quick, here was the other question. And we got to take a break, so it's got to be quick. But do we need outside input on this, or is this a personal inventory? In other words, should we have the guts to say to our spouse, hey, here's the things I'm seeing that I think you need to address. What would you like to add to the list? Should we open ourselves up to that?
Absolutely. That's part of this, because as Christians, as we've talked before, iron sharpens iron. And if it's done with the intent in mind that you're taking your inventory and these are this is why you're responding, I think it's healthy. I think it's very healthy to talk to other people about it. And actually, in the STEP book, it does suggest that whether you want to talk to your sponsor, you want to talk to the person that's involved, a spouse, a loved one, to either help you walk through it or to work through the issue itself.
All right. Well said. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got just a couple of minutes left. If you want to jump on board with any kind of question or comment, now is the time to do it. Please don't hesitate. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And we'll be back with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray. Go to lisakratzthomas.com or kathygraydreamers.com for more information. Jesus,
you make the darkness. Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number 3 on how to become an actual NBL participant. Support our advertisers.
So here we are, down to our final few minutes together. We got about 4.5 minutes for those who are keeping track. Congratulations to Debbie, Luana, Cindy, and Martha. We're sending you copies of the book, and maybe you guys can sign them for those ladies.
Love
how
to.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Would that be? And for my mom, because she's
absolutely
listening. She's
for
listening
sure
right now. Okay. Wow, this has been awesome. And I want to give you guys like the floor to add anything else to the conversation we've had today. Or, you know, we obviously have to talk about step 11 because that's coming up next week. But let me start with Kathy this time.
Yeah. We were having a lively discussion off air about what you had wisely suggested, Neil, and Lisa chimed in on. And that is, you know, involving other people in this inventory of ourselves. And it's absolute, we cannot do this. This is no Lone Ranger kind of thing. But remember, we're on step 10.
Right.
So if you're on step 2 and you hear, oh, you should run this by your spouse and just see what, that isn't a wise idea. Get to step 10 before you do step 10. And by that time, we have wisdom about who is healthy in my life. You know, Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine.
Sure.
And that's not just being unwise. He says, lest they turn and tear you with their teeth. I mean, it's like dangerous. So just use wisdom.
I actually know some of those people, but let's move along. We're not going to name names. Go
so
ahead.
Anyway, just that caveat on that comment.
Okay, so well said. Lisa?
Well, do you want me to go into step 11 and
yeah,
talk a little
it
bit about
let's
that?
Let's talk about where we're going next week.
So, you know, it gets better and better. Step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So you can see how doing step 10, cleaning yourself out, asking him to direct you, promptly taking care of things, opens up the floodgates. It cleans you out. It makes you an open vessel to be able to go through with prayer and meditation to hear God talk to you and to carry out the will that he has for your life.
At what point in, well, you kept going back to 12-step programs, but what point were you at when you accepted Christ yourself?
I was involved in 12-step, and I'd been going for, I don't know, maybe 9 months. I had a relapse, and when I went back, someone had given me a set of cassette tapes from a TV evangelist, and I heard the word grace. And I think I was probably still at the third step because I really struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
But what those tapes did was it opened my mind to the idea that I wasn't too bad, too dirty. I wasn't any of those things. I hadn't made mistakes that Jesus couldn't forgive, that his blood erased it. And even if I thought I was, his grace was enough for me. So, you know, it can happen at any time, but
sure,
these steps just, they just take you into his presence and allow that those things to really start to germinate.
I love it. All right, we've got like a minute left. What should we do with all this time? Oh, actually, your husband's handed in lists of things they wanted me to share. about stuff that you guys need to work on.
Oh, is that right? I'm sure they promptly handed that in.
They did. You know, what's Tom saying over there? He's acting like we're not supposed to hear him. So we got Lisa and Tom. It's been a pleasure to meet your husbands. You got to read the book to find out how significant Tom is in Lisa's story and just how God used that. And obviously, Dave, you're very significant to your spouse as well. But in terms of the story and how Lisa came to faith in Christ, it's incredible how Tom fits into that picture. And Dave, you've been such a great support to Kathy through this whole thing. And I just count it a privilege to know and have the opportunity to, you know, interact with you guys. Absolutely love what God is doing here. And I believe he's not done. So we got a few weeks left, but
that's right.
But there's seeds planted that he's not brought to fruition yet. So, Lord, I just pray for next week's conversation about step 11 and what you want to do in the meantime. And, Lord, as you are speaking to hearts, I think the one thing for sure that we've learned is that we're in process and that mm-hmm. we may have grown to a certain point, but you want to take us further because one day we're going to actually look like Jesus. And I pray that as we consider what we've learned about step 10, we'll be able to see the need for the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart and show us areas where we're deficient, knowing that you are fully able to step in and help make us into the person we were created to be for your glory. So thank you for Lisa and Kathy and their involvement. We thank you for their opportunity they had to speak at the City Church yesterday and for having them in studio today. What a great joy. And give them safe travel as they return to Virginia and Texas. And we look forward to step 11 next week. God, let our hearts and minds and ears be open to what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
God bless. Thank you all for joining us again. Debbie, Luana, Cindy, and Martha are the winners of the books, and we'll be sending those out to you. We'll have them signed by Lisa and Kathy. But go to lisakratzthomas.com or kathygraydreamers.com for more information. You can find Light in Our Darkness at barnesandnoble.com.